This morning we're going to be thinking about the line in the verse in Jude. Contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints, or once and for all delivered to the saints. And Jude starts his letter by telling us really who is a Christian, because he then compares those who are in the church who are not Christian and who are causing great trouble. To those who have been called, who are loved, who are kept, or called, sanctified, preserved by Christ Jesus. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. He then towards the end of his letter, reminds them to keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And I think it's useful that Jude has introduced his letter in that way, and he closes that letter because he says later, contend for the faith. Now, I was once in Llandudno a few years ago when I was at Zion Church. Each year the church would go away for the weekend, and I was on my own at one point because we go at the Victorian weekend, so it's very busy in Llandudno, and so the Christians are out taking great opportunities. And I was walking down the street one day, and there was a street preacher there, and so I decided to stop and listen, and everybody else was walking by, nobody was stopping, and I began to understand why. For 5 minutes I was roasted and toasted over the fires of hell until my clothes were beginning to smell themselves. And you wonder what is going on here. What is going on here? But I walked a bit further down the street, and there was a creation.com there. Andy, I think you know Andy McIntosh. I think he's spoken here, hasn't he, in the past? Yeah, I'm getting a few nods. And they were out. They were also contending for the faith. But they were showing mercy and peace and love. Merciful to those who doubt. And they had got a few people stopping to talk to them. They were obviously contending to the faith about the creation of the world, supporting the Bible there. Our attitudes really matter to us. But Jude's letter contains many warnings for Christians to be careful, to avoid error, and to defend the truth. Now, Jude was probably writing around about AD 65, so about 35 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nero was the Roman emperor, and so things were not easy for the Christians. And actually, if you read 2 Peter is talking very similar things, could be addressing the same problem in the church. It could well be that Jude's letter is an open letter to all the churches, which means in that case that the problem of heresy was beginning to be widespread throughout the church. Jude, it says at the beginning of the letter, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. James was the leader of the Jerusalem church, and so this letter may have gone out to all the churches, warning them to be careful of what was going on. James' response is twofold to the threat to the church. He asks them to contend for the faith, and then he tells them later in the book, from verse 17 onwards, to persevere in the faith. So contend, what does contend mean? The word used here in the Greek, and forgive my pronunciation of Greek, I don't speak it very often. Epagone zomai means earnestly to contend for. But our word contend, it means to struggle with, to battle, to argue earnestly, to assert. And he begins to exhort his readers to contend for this faith, for this faith. And we'll have a look in a moment by what he means by faith. He warns those who are mislead, that distort and twist the word of God. He's warning them of the consequences of their actions. Jude starts his letter, doesn't he? Dear friends, though I am very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to the saints. He started writing. He's going to write about the salvation, which is so important to us. But he felt that he had to write this letter to us, that we must persevere in the faith that we have, that we must contend for it. So firstly, as we were saying, the first two opening verses at the end, he gives this wonderful profile of a Christian and the importance of that in our contending for the faith. Firstly, a Christian is a servant, or more literally, a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian is humble in service, does not seek his own building up or lording it over other people. A Christian is one who has been called by God into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live out that relationship, don't we, in our lives. A Christian is preserved, is kept by God in Christ Jesus. And we receive from God mercy and peace and love in abundance that should be then shown to the world around us. Jude then goes on to call us to contend for the faith that has once and for all been entrusted to the saints. This is of great importance to the church then, and it's of great importance to the church now. There are so many things that are going on in the world around us today. I think Jude sort of briefly, but he doesn't focus on it, just talk a little bit about contending for the faith in our own lives, particularly towards the end of the book when he's asking us to persevere in the faith. That's important, but it's not the main message of this letter. He also, we can also think about contending for the faith in the world today, and that is a big area for us, isn't it? There's been attempts by government to curtail the freedom to practice our faith. The attempt to register all of our faith leaders, to have Ofsted coming into our churches and telling us what to preach and teach. There's what's coming up now is what is called the banning of conversion therapy. And we have to be very careful there. Conversion therapy is already legislated against in the law, and it is an awful, awful practice. But we're now using those words to start an attack on the church. And that is really, really bad. There was an article only on Friday in the Christian Concern website that was sent through, their newsletter on a Friday. And it was an article by Rod Henderson. And it says, truth claims are routinely shouted down by those who view the West as inherently evil, racist, patriarchal, heteronormative and capitalist. Some want to destroy the very structures which have created freedom and prosperity. Smash patriarchy, the family. Smash capitalism, wealth creation and private property. Smash heteronormativity, Basically, the reality of we are made male and female. Smash the police, law and order. Smash down the statues, our collective memory and our history. There is so much that is being attacked within society. But once again, this is not the focus of Jude's letter. As important as it is, Jude's letter, his main concern here is that we should contend with the church. We should contend with the church, people that have come into the church. Now, you might immediately think, well, this is really odd. This is really odd. Surely the church upholds the faith. But Jude has great concern, so much so that he turns from talking about salvation to talking about protecting the church. There are people that come into the church using it for their own gain, leading people astray, building themselves up with their boasting. It's an urgent message that Jude has got, and he puts his main message to one side, and he doesn't really come back to it. He doesn't really come back to it, although we can see the importance of salvation throughout this letter. What does he say the danger is? First of all, it is subtle. It is subtle. Now, if somebody came in through those doors now shouting that Jesus did not die and therefore did not rise from the dead, I think we would realise straight away that there was something not quite right with his doctrines. And being Christians, we would kindly escort them to the door and lead them out. But notice that Jude says about these people, they have secretly slipped in among you, the believers. They could have been in the church community for some time and seem to be doing all the right things and saying the right things, looking the part. And this is how Satan works. He is subtle. He is sly. He prowls around. And a half-truth is far harder to spot than a barefaced lie. And this is how falsehood creeps into the church. Jude calls for the contending of the faith. The contending of the faith. What could he mean by that? And I think that it means that it's much more than just scripture. It's more than scripture. Because he is talking about contending for the faith. In verse 20, he says, build yourself up in the most holy faith. So what might we mean by this? Because we have to be very careful, don't we, that we do not add to the word of God and we do not take away from the word of God. So what might he mean? I think he's also saying to us, the collected wisdom and teaching that is supported by Scripture and helps us to understand correctly and thoroughly the Scriptures. Much of that is being thrown out today. What is that collective wisdom that we have? Well, if the collective wisdom that we have begins with our early church fathers. We have men like Athanasius. He opposed a guy called Arius, Arius was arguing that God, the Father, existed before he created Jesus Christ. Therefore, Christ is a created being which denies the full divinity of Christ Jesus. And Athanasius, he challenged that heresy. Arius' teaching possibly led to the formation of Islam, where Jesus is He's certainly no son of God. But it has certainly led to the heresy of the Jehovah's Witnesses. We have these wise people that are defending the faith. We have Augustine, who gave great insight to the doctrines of sin and grace and made substantial contributions to our understanding of the Trinity. There was much controversy in the early church about who Jesus is. Now, our understanding of what is his in his relationship to the Trinity. And these people gave great wisdom, great insight, and over hundreds of years the doctrines were sorted out until we could understand what it is. But when we look at our Bibles, we find the Trinitarian nature of God there, don't we? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We could mention others. Irenaeus of Lyon, who defended the fight against the Gnostic heresy. Cyril of Alexandria, writing on Christology and the nature of Christ. And later, of course, we have Luther and Calvin and others. All support Scripture and point to the correct understanding of Scripture. Their arguments take their thrust from Scripture, but Scripture is always our ultimate and final authority, isn't it? It helps to clarify our understanding of what the Bible says. It also means, because of that wisdom that has been imparted to us, that we do not stray from what the Bible is telling us. What's important to us in our understanding of our faith as evangelical congregationalists? Can you think of anything that we could use to help us understand our faith as independent congregationalists? I think you've probably seen this book, Evangelical and Congregational. Well, in there is a declaration called the Savoy Declaration, and it literally goes through what we believe, and he puts it together in a declaration, but it is totally based on Scripture to us. If it starts to deviate from Scripture, then it is no good. It is no good to us, and we should be aware of that. But it helps us to understand our ultimate authority, which is Scripture. And I think this is what Jude is saying to us. He's talking about the faith that we have. But our faith is under attack today. One area that's increasingly prevalent in the church is a very, very subtle, very, very subtle. Have you heard, you've no doubt heard of the five solas? So, sola scriptura, scripture alone. Sola fide, in faith alone. Sola gratia, in grace alone. Sola Christus, in Christ alone. And sola Deo gloria, to the glory of God alone. Well, that first one is being twisted. Sola scriptura, scripture alone. And it's been twisted to solo scriptura, or nuda scriptura. Basically, naked scripture. We have our faith that supports us. And I very much believe in sola scriptura, in scripture alone that we have here. But people are taking that now to an extreme, nuda scriptura, where the framework around that helps us to understand our Bible is being stripped away. Sola scriptura naturally appeals, or nuda scriptura, naturally appeals to people who are suspicious of authority. Where do we find the suspicious of authority, or the lack of authority now? We find it in our society, don't we? Where we're individualistically inclined, well, our exclusive individualism is our society today, isn't it? Nothing can have authority over me. And that has crept into the church, where people are now saying, it is my reading of the Bible, my understanding of the Bible, that it counts. That is the ultimate authority. And we have to be very careful, don't we? It is great to see that people are reading their Bibles. It's so important to us. But when we strip it away from that, that is our faith as well, real dangers come into it. You only have to watch the television or some of the on YouTube to see some of the false teachers use scripture and make their own interpretation of that, moving right away from any ancient understanding of what scripture actually says. Sadly, I think those worldly trends of no authority over us, and I want to be myself, has unwittingly crept into the church and into our Bible reading. It sounds great, doesn't it? My only authority is Scripture. And we would say, Amen. We would say, Amen. But then they realise that they have stripped away everything else and left it. Jude is warning us, isn't he? Contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. It was once and for all delivered or entrusted to the saints. That once and for all indicates that we can't change it, can we? We cannot change it. Just imagine that we were an ambassador for a country and we were given a message to take to another country. What would we be doing if we were to change that message? It has been entrusted to us, hasn't it? To be delivered as it is. To be delivered as it is. It has been entrusted to the saints. And Jude has described who the saints are. They are those who have been called, who are sanctified, who are preserved, have been given peace, mercy and peace and love in abundance. It is so important that we contend to that faith that has been given to us. Our faith rests on Scripture, in Scripture alone. That is our foundation. That is our foundation. But by looking to those who have gone before us, there is great wisdom there. Jude argues that this faith must be contended for, this faith given to all the saints. When false teaching comes into the church, what is the outcome? And we can go through here. First of all, there is a denial of Jesus Christ, our only Saviour and Lord. They changed the grace of God into a license for immorality. They pollute their own bodies. They reject authority. They slander things they do not understand. They feed only themselves. They give no refreshment. They are wild waves and wandering stars. And it goes later, it says, they're grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own desires. They boast about themselves and they flatter others for their own advantage. Jude tells us that this faith is given once. It cannot be added to or taken away from. It has been entrusted to us. But the big outcome, as we begin to move away from the faith that has been entrusted to us, is that the gospel is changed. And if the gospel is changed, it becomes no gospel at all. I think this is why Jude is so urgent about his message to get over. Persevere in the faith. Contend for the faith. stay in the faith, because he knows that once they come away from that, the gospel is changed. It becomes no gospel at all. Jude is calling us back to the faith that was entrusted to us. The faith, that faith is the saving faith of the gospel. If we begin to tamper with it, we have that different gospel. Paul condemned this in his letter to the Galatians when he wrote, "But even if we or even an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As I have already said, so I say it again," just in case you missed it, "if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than that you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned." And what does Jude say? He says that when that gospel changes, they change the grace of God. They change the grace of God. Jesus says that truth matters. And in the matter of salvation, it could not be more important that we're saved through the truth of the gospel. We're given eternal salvation as we receive that truth of Christ Jesus into our hearts, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And Paul says the same thing in 1 Timothy, that to be saved is to come to a knowledge of the truth. Note here a thing that is challenging the world today, that the Bible says there is an ultimate truth. There is an ultimate truth here. It's a concept that's totally alien to our society today, where everybody's truths hold the same value. Well, sadly, that just is not. In the gospel, we find that there is an ultimate truth. "No one comes to the Father but through me," says Jesus. Jude is concerned that as we tamper with our faith, if we allow people to come into the church who are teaching these untruths, that the truth of God will be lost, that the salvation will be a different gospel. John Benton, in his book Jude, Slandering the Angels, states, "Jude's letter comes as a clarion call to our generation. A lethargic strategy always commends itself to fallen human beings. We can all feel that it's easier to keep our heads down and hope for the best. But wars are never won like that. Jude shakes us out of our complacency and urges us to take a stand along with him." So in conclusion this morning, we must always be prepared to contend for the faith, to staunchly defend the Christian truths, the truths of our faith. But we need to be careful, don't we, that we do that with mercy and peace and love. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. It challenges us in our lifestyle as well, as we live out the gospel in the world. We need to make sure that we are careful to avoid those who lead us astray, leaders and teachers who distort the Bible for their own ends and their own agendas. Genuine servants of God will live out the truths of the Bible in their lives and also give a faithful picture of Christ from the Word of God. How do we defend ourselves against false teaching and against false teachers?
The first thing that we do, isn't it, is by reading the Word of God. By reading the Word of God. That is so important. But it's so useful, isn't it, to have a commentary or some Bible notes that help us to understand. I use a number of Bible notes. I use Our Daily Bread and the Grace Bible notes as well. The Grace Bible notes I was first given by Brenda Potter, who comes to the church here. And they are really great books that are reformed in their theology and keep us in that faith, that we understand what others have thought about our faith. It is so important, isn't it, that we know the basics of our faith. The confession, which I've showed you in this little book, it helps us to understand our faith. These are old truths that have been contended for over the centuries. Jude begins to finish his letter by saying, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." The most basic defense, isn't it? Build ourselves up in the most holy faith, because it leads to our salvation. I urge you, therefore, to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to you as saints. Amen.